I do think that should stay in there. We're not saying that that they would interfere with a drive by another staff person or development officer or whatever. We're just saying that, that they should take the initiative to help, you know, do that, because you're saying that they only have supervisory authority, then you can assume if Kathy's position holds, that means that the supervise the development officer, you may be getting in the way of what they're doing. I don't know. I think they should be working together. Everybody should be working together. And there are special roles for the ED to play. That's, we're not trying to create a contradiction between two. Just that, we want the ED to at least have some say over that. That's all.
Okay. Anyone have a comment on where we should go?
This is Kathy.
Okay, Kathy, go ahead.
I think that's important that the ED be available to attend events when they can, but I don't think, you know, that's kind of a PR thing, and I don't consider that to be a major responsibility. I think it would be good, but not a major responsibility. I have found that where we run into trouble with fundraising is in the lack of coordination of doing, you know, cross purposes, mail drops, you know, scheduling, not scheduling things in a coherent way. So to me, the ED would be best used as an oversight of the overall development operations of the network to make sure that we're all on the same page and not, you know, in supporting each other's efforts rather than conflicting with each other's efforts. To me, that's much more important than making a, or not that the other thing isn't important, but, you know, I think that coordination is what we really have lacked and where we have gotten into a lot of trouble with fundraising.
This is Doc. Can I get on the stack, please?
Oh, and then okay, Mia after, please.
Okay. Evelyn, go ahead.
I think we're taking this off in the wrong direction. And
yes.
I, no offense meant, please. Development is a whole different kind of place all by itself. It's very time consuming, and it takes a great deal of personal telephone in person to do development. And if we're talking about trying to coordinate five stations in development, that's a person that needs to do that, not an ED. We need to have a development coordinator at a national level. The ED does not have time to do development or to oversee it. It's very, very time consuming. And along with other responsibilities of what we actually do in terms of radio, I don't think that's a good utilization of it, of the ED's time. I do believe the ED should be have some input into some form of fundraising, and maybe, you know, having relationship or meeting with high-end givers is where that should be. But development is a really is a real time-consuming kind of job if you do it correctly, especially trying to coordinate across the country with five different stations. And I would not support, I wouldn't support that.
Okay, Evelyn, would you support language such as responsible for fundraising for the organization?
Yes.
Okay. Nia?
I was just about to ask you, Jack, to read what you wrote down first in terms of, I think I said grant writing and special events. I'd like to move that and just have it be plain and simple.
What I had, I actually added direct mail campaigns when I was jotting it down, because Kathy reminded me that that is one way we raise funds. What I had was...
Lonnie initiated that,
responsible for fundraising such as responsible for fundraising such as oversight of grant writing, major donor events, direct mail campaigns, etc.
So moved.
that good? Okay, we have a motion on the floor. What was that, a second?
Yeah, I second it. I can live with that.
Okay, so this is responsible for fundraising, such as oversight of grant writing, major donor events, direct mail campaigns, etc., would be the new number four. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, that's approved. We'll move on to the old number four. The two versions, the only distinction is the words and bylaws. Managing under general administration, managing and supervising national staff and general managers to provide for the effective operation of the Foundation's public radio stations in compliance with the objectives and policies of the Board of Directors and consistent with the Pacifica mission. Or we can include the words in and consistent with Pacifica mission and bylaws.
This is Nia.
Nia, go ahead.
The bylaws, I'm trying to think, how did the bylaws fit in here? Effective Operation Foundation Public Compliance.
I don't know what is added by including the bylaws.
What does that mean?
I have a hard time getting away from the bylaws in Pacifica. Are you moving to
accept
board number A at least?
Yes.
Yeah. Is there any further discussion on supporting number A and striking and bylaws, which is in number B?
Yeah.
Okay. If there's no objection, we'll approve number 4A. Okay, 4A is approved. Number 5, appointing and facilitating the work of a national election supervisor in each year when elections for delegates are held.
Jack?
Any comment?
Yes.
Was that Nia?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think the elections committee might be working on something. So would it be okay to table that until you maybe check with the chair of the elections committee, who is Bob Lederer?
Yeah.
Not to say that has been approved, but I think there's...
AC, whenever you get it.
AC, go ahead.
Well, I think in consideration of the crisis that we faced in the previous election, I think that that it should be a requirement that the board, the ED, and whomever we hire to have a thorough discussion about the election before they take place. In other words, I don't think that any one person determined the process by which the election is being conducted. I think it's a matter for the whoever develops an position on the election. It needs to be submitted to the board and the ED, so that, we can have a thorough vetting of that before we agree to, first of all, hire the person, and before we agree to the process that person is going to use for the elections.
Are you making a recommendation
on
the language, AC, which would be change something?
Yeah, I'm saying that I think it should change to include recommendations by the elections committee submitted to the board and discussed by both the board and the ED and the I should add the attorney as well, and so that we can have a thorough vetting of this entire process is going to be used in ample time before the election begins.
AC, I hate to do this, but I don't understand how that fits into a job description.
Well, what I'm saying is that's okay. What I'm saying is the ED should ensure, you put it that way, should ensure that the recommendations of the committee, the election committee, and the board, and the ED, and the attorney, if you can think of better language, should have a thorough vetting of the issues surrounding the elections. That's all I'm stating. That the ED would be responsible for ensuring that that takes place. Does that fit in there? If it doesn't, then something else.
It seems like I would love to hire somebody to solve our election problems. But,
I would too.
It might take another salary.
No, we need an election supervisor who follows his own rules and regulations.
Could I second Nia's motion to table this till we have the discussion on the elections?
Sure, you can second it.
Could I further reject by saying that you contact the chair of the elections committee?
Yeah.
Bob Lederer.
See what's going on there with this?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any objection to tabling approval of this item until I've checked with Bob Lederer and gotten back to the committee?
No objections.
No objection. Okay, fine. Number six, selecting general managers for each sister station upon vacancies from candidates presented by the local station boards.
Move to accept.
Any discussion here?
No.
Any objection to number six?
No.
Hearing none. Nia, you're the Vox Populi over there. Number seven, selecting interim general managers in accordance with Pacifica bylaws. Now, I have to say, as somebody who's, you know, probably looked at the bylaws enough to last me several lifetimes,
there's nothing
in the bylaws about selecting interim general managers.
I was going to add something, Chair.
Okay, Nia, what's your question?
Well, finish. You can finish.
Well, that was it. It seems like a mistake to say selecting interim general managers in accordance with Pacifica bylaws when they are mute on the subject. As I think we all know, right?
Well, this is Kathy.
Am I recognized yet?
Oh, okay, Nia, and then Kathy.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, but I was going to add at the end, with Pacifica bylaws as it pertains to general managers. So whatever the criteria are for general are the same.
I don't know, Nia. Then you're going to have to go through a search process for every interim GM. That's where you're going, right?
Yeah.
And select a pool. Okay. Kathy?
Yeah, I was just going to say that's what we've done in New York City is we've had a search process for the interim as well as the general manager. So I think that's appropriate.
Okay. And we did that at Kay last year, and it worked very well. But what happens if there's a sudden vacancy and you don't have time, and you have to appoint an acting GM, I guess?
Well,
May
I come in?
Yeah, I'll call on you, AC. Go ahead.
Yeah, hasn't it been in the past that the ED appoints a person who, you know, if there's a vacancy, the ED appoints a person to replace that person, on an interim basis?
Kathy, on the staff?
That's what really happened in New York.
Yeah.
And it was a disaster.
Well, it could have been. I don't know.
Okay.
Do you want somebody other than the ED to to recommend that?
Let's not have a back and forth, but I'm starting to see the wisdom of including the Pacifica bylaws into this sentence. AC, if you're through, I'll call on Kathy again. But let's not have a back and forth, if you don't mind.
Well, no, I mean, I'd like to raise that, to have that question answered about, I know traditionally in Pacifica is the and maybe it is a disaster, but at least that's the way it's been done. I don't know if it should be improved. I guess it could be improved, but the ED is the one who has the authority to hire the GM as well as the interim GMs, so...
But that's what we're doing, AC.
Okay, hold on, Mia. Okay, AC, if you're through?
Yeah, I want that discussed, if you don't mind, Jack.
Sure.
I don't want to be just passed over.
No.
Because that's the way it's been done. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it doesn't need improvement. But that is the way it's been done all the years I've known about.
Okay. If you're through now, I'll call on Kathy, and I think maybe Nia wants to.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I would actually, I don't know, did we already accept six?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll make my suggestion anyway, just so you can hear the concept. I would put selecting general managers and or interim general managers in number six. And number seven, I would put... you know, like emergency appointment, maybe, you know, which might be a different situation, but so you might want to put somebody in there for a month, but not necessarily appoint someone for a year. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the difficulty we had in New York City was that somebody was selected by an ED that was not supervised for a year and ended up leaving the station in very bad shape. So I think that even an interim person needs to go through a selection process.
Yeah. See what we can, how we can straighten this out. I think, Nia, you made a recommendation that number seven be selecting interim general managers in accordance with the Pacifica bylaws provisions for selecting general managers. Is that correct?
Yes, I'd like to pull that.
Yeah, and I...
We are talking about the ED, so the ED is the person that's doing the selection.
Yeah. So we have three categories of GM appointments. We have the permanent GM. We have the interim where there's enough, you know, lead time to do a search. And then there's the emergency appointment of an acting GM. So I guess the question is, should we include in the job description, there seems to be agreement that the interim GM should be appointed via a search process.
Yes.
Analogous to the GM appointment. But that
correct.
There may be necessary an emergency appointment of an acting GM. Do we want to include that in this job description?
Well, if I may.
Go ahead. Yeah, go
I
ahead.
I think you need... I think that is an issue that we need to check the bylaws on because I agree that perhaps a year is too long, but the bylaws gives that authority to the ED, and that's the person. But now, if you're talking about going back through the process of the LSB. To select an interim, well, I have no problems with that except it's not in the bylaw.
No, you're correct that it's not in the bylaws. If the PMB were to approve this, it would essentially be approving a policy on interim general managers. that would go into effect with the hiring of an ED, that they be that the interim GMs be selected according to a search process from the LSB. And I imagine that would be popular with the board. I'm just guessing. I don't know. Let me just ask, is there any objection to NEA's amendment? Does anyone object to adding the words so that it reads, selecting interim general managers in accordance with the Pacifica bylaws provision for selecting GMs? Does anyone have an objection to that? I'm not asking you to vote. I'm just wondering if we have essentially a straw poll. They're out of order. So if we were ready to approve that, would we feel that we need to include an item on emergency appointments of general managers?
For sure.
You think so, Doc? maybe we could add interim GMs, et cetera, et cetera. Also, emergency appointments of acting general managers.
Well,
starting to sound really
unstable. It's her discretion.
Yeah, I think you're going to get into a lot of problems with this. I would recommend that we delay this provision until after you've checked the bylaws on this question.
Well,
early.
I think I know that the bylaws only specify a procedure for hiring a general manager, which
right.
is that the local station boards select a pool. They may appoint a committee to do that. And that the ED selects the appointee from the pool provided by the LSB. And that's all it says. It doesn't say anything about interim or acting GMs. Doc, do you have a suggestion?
Well, overall, I think it would make the life of the interim GM easier if there was more consensus on who that person is.
Yeah.
Because for, you know, the ED to just appoint somebody, a lot of times that brings about a whole lot of conflict. And they spend more time fighting battles than getting work done. So possibly the process, you know, that we use for the GM might be the best solution. So, you know, looking at it in terms of trying to make things run smoother, that might be the best way to go.
No, I think we have agreement on this, at least on our committee.
This is Nia.
So
okay, Nia, go ahead.
In the case of an emergency, I would say the executive director, it would be up to his or her discretion. Or do we want, who, are all program directors in the station non-union people?
I think so. Program directors?
Right.
Yeah.
So in the case of an emergency, ED may select program director or something like that.
Oh, boy. Spaghetti.
I don't think that's Kathy on the stack, please.
Okay, Kathy, go ahead.
Remember, can I finish yet?
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm not talking about any particular person. I'm just talking, Evelyn talked about making the person's life easy. Across the board, it would be fair because all program directors in all stations are non-union members. We're talking about in case of emergency, somebody just to hold the fort down until the search is done to get an interim general manager. Let's not think about personalities. I'm sorry, Evan, to hear you.
I was just saying then that's the motion. You said it perfectly.
Yeah, that's it right there.
Such time as the process can, you know, be finalized for the
right.
General.
Okay, Nia, did you have a motion?
I don't remember what I said, but the essence of it is that in the case of an emergency, the executive director may appoint the program director until interim general manager search process is completed.
Okay, Kathy. Yeah, go ahead, Kathy.
In principle, I don't have a problem with that. I just think that it's too limiting. I would suggest that it be, we should appoint from non-union staff internally, because who knows? It could be a business manager, it could be a development director, it could be the human resources person. You might need to take someone from one station and move them to another station. I would just think it needed to be someone internal to the network and someone non-union.
Why the non-union? Oh, I'm sorry. May I ask?
Kathy, if you're done, I'll recognize AC.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, I wanted to know why a non-union.
It's a managerial position.
Please, Nia.
I'm sorry, I'm out of order. Sorry, Jack.
Okay. Who wants to respond to AC, Kathy?
Yes, I could respond. I would respond similar to Nia, because it's a management position. But even in the case of in New York, a person who was in the union temporarily left the union while holding that position, and then after someone was selected, they went back to their original place in the union. So it's just I guess primarily I feel that it should be an internal hire, but it should be a broader selection pool than limiting to just one person.
Yeah, I'm going to call on myself. The wording I have here, because I agree with Kathy, it should be a broader pool than just one position to fill in. In the case of emergency, the ED may appoint from management, non-union staff, and acting GM.
That's it.
Anyone like that? Anyone just like it?
Okay.
Okay, I think we need to... Maybe we can accept work vote on the whole package now. Where are we? So number 7 would be selecting interim general managers in accordance with the Pacifica bylaws provision for selecting GMs. In the case of emergency, the ED may appoint from management, non-union staff, an acting GM. Is there any objection to that?
No.
Okay. All right, this is the vote then. If there's no objection. Okay, that wording is approved for number 7. Number 8. Okay, the problem with number 8 is it identifies a number of positions. And because the network is in flux, these positions may come and go. Number 8A reads, hiring and coordinating supervised national staff, including the human resources director, Pacifica Radio Archives director, assistant to the director, national technical director, affiliates coordinator, webmaster, network programming coordinator, news bureau director, administrative assistant, and others as approved by the PNB. The alternative to that mouthful is 8B, which reads, hiring and coordinating supervised national staff. Any comment?
I have a question. Kathy?
Yeah, Kathy, go ahead.
I just don't understand how it's worded, hiring and coordinating supervised national staff. What does that supervised mean?
I think it excludes the CFO, and also the CFO supervises the national finance staff. Isn't that the national finance staff works under the direction of the CFO. All Pacifica staff report to the ED.
This is Nia.
Nia, are you clear on this?
I was going to say that although for now those positions have been job discontinued, that we could leave them there. And just in case, for some reason, the foundation hits the mega million or something, and we can rehire these people, but at least it's clear what he or she, or who he or she is allowed to hire. So I don't have a problem with that. I would also like to add that there should really be, and this is coming from the audit committee's perspective, a compliance person. I know we don't have money for that, or it's never been instituted, but that's something else that the executive, that somebody as the executive director should be managing. It's some sort of compliance director. So I don't have a problem listing all those positions.
Okay, so you're supporting 8A.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kathy?
Further comment, Kathy?
I also don't have a problem with 8A because it says including, which means, you know, it's an open thing. But if we're going to include things that we need, I would also put development director in there.
Okay. Development director. Anyone object to adding development director to 8A?
National development director.
National.
Nia, you are always reading my mind.
Nia's the mind reader, believe me.
Psychic.
Okay. We seem to be developing ahead of steam for 8A. Does anyone object to 8A with the addition of National Development Director? Okay, we can formalize it. 8A is on the floor with the amendment of adding National Development Director. Is there any objection now to 8A? Okay, hearing none, 8A is approved as amended. 9A reads, conducting annual evaluations of supervised national staff and general managers with appropriate recommendations. 9B reads, partner with human resources to conduct annual evaluations of supervised national staff and general managers with appropriate recommendations. Any comment on?
I move to accept B.
You move to accept B.
I move to accept A.
Okay. Who wants to motivate their recommendation here? Kathy?
Yes, I think that partnering with human resources is a good idea, but it's limited, and if there is no human resources person, that would mean there would be no evaluations. But so I think that it should be conducting annual evaluations of supervised national staff with appropriate recommendations, maybe, and consultation with human resources, is what I would say. But to limit it to a partnership with human resources, to me, is to take away a vital part of what the ED needs to do.
I'm really somewhat swayed. So you would amend it to add in consultation with HR, 9A.
Yes.
Consultation with human resources. Nia, do you want to motivate 9B?
Yes. Human resources, the human resources department in every organization is an integral part of the organization. Where it says partner with the human resources to conduct the annual evaluation doesn't mean that the human resources person is going to do it. And if you don't have one, you just don't have a partner. You just do the evaluation on your own. However, from past experience, in terms of sending the evaluation back for an executive director, it was a human resources person who coordinated all of this, and she was an impartial person. She made sure that all the evaluations that were sent back were from people who actually were on the local station boards and worked for the organization. So you absolutely, and that's where those files should be kept anyways, with the human resources person. So I've never heard of an organization where you leave out the human resources manager or director in Pacifica's case.
Well, if anyone wants to chime in, I sort of see Kathy's point that you don't want to set up a situation where somebody can argue that they don't need to do evaluations because there's no HR director. So I'm inclined to like 9A as amended. even though, you know.
Just a point of information, Jack.
Sure, Nia.
How do you come to that conclusion from B?
Well, if B says partner with, if the directive is that the ED is to partner with human resources to conduct annual evaluations, I mean, I don't know that an ED would do this, but they might say, well, there's no HR director, so I don't have to do the evaluation.
Kathy, on the
spot. Okay, Kathy, go on.
It also, because to me it seems like the directive in B is that they must partner, not that they must evaluate. And the reason I like 9A, because it means that the ED is responsible for these evaluations no matter what, but I feel that if we say that it's in consultation with human resources, that means even if we don't have a human resources director, they would have to seek out some kind of consult on that regard, but they still have the ultimate responsibility to do the evaluations. You know, whether there's someone on staff or not.
Well, does anyone else have a view on 9A versus B? 9A amended to include in consultation with HR. Doc, go ahead.
I think that if we, you know, amending 9A to include in consultation with HR where appropriate might work.
Where appropriate?
Yeah.
Okay, it could be further amended to read, conducting annual evaluations of supervised national staff and general managers with appropriate recommendations in consultation with HR where appropriate. Anyone else have a view on 9A versus B? Maybe we should take it to a vote. First of all, do we approve the Doc's amendment to Kathy's amendment, or do we? Let's see if we. Does everyone agree that we should vote on 9A as follows: conducting annual evaluations of supervised national staff and general managers with appropriate recommendations in consultation with human resources where appropriate.
Well, this is Kathy.
Yeah, Kathy.
I understand the meaning. But somehow the wording seems, to use the word appropriate twice seems, it just sounds off key, but I have no objection to the principle.
You're right, I hadn't noticed that. It does sound funny.
Yeah.
What was that? Was that Doc?
Yeah, I just said find another word.
Find another word.
I don't mind.
Nia?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.
When would it be inappropriate to consult with the HR person?
Doc, do you have an answer?
You know, when we've been doing the personnel things, there were times when we could get through a great deal of what we were doing. But then there were specific questions as to whether or not there was a protocol, an HR protocol that we needed to include. And that was when we called upon the HR person. We didn't always have that person on the phone. Like right now, we're working through the ED job description, and we might not necessarily have had the HR person on this call, even if we had one, to get through this. They might review it afterwards.
Okay, Doc, if you're through, I'm going to call on myself. As a student of literature, I think I've solved the double appropriate use problem. We could strike the first appropriate before recommendation. So it reads, conducting annual evaluations of supervised national staff and GMs with recommendations, because hopefully they're not going to make inappropriate recommendations. So the word appropriate isn't really necessary there. In consultation with HR where appropriate. So, does that work for anyone?
That's
That works for me.
Yeah, okay, so we'll strike the first appropriate. In consultation with HR where appropriate. Okay, we can vote on 9A, but that will, if we vote 9A up, that means 9B is down. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So I'm
9A has the essence of B in it.
It has the essence of B in it?
Yes.
Does that mean you're okay with it?
Yes.
You're okay with 9A. Okay. Is there any objection to 9A as amended? Okay. Hearing none, 9A will then be approved.
God, I love it.
Who are you talking to, Evelyn?
Evelyn, are you? Yeah, you're kind of soft.
I just really love this committee.
You're kind of soft talk. Yeah, I don't know. 45 minutes. I don't know if we're going to. I think we're a little over already.
Oh, we're way past 45 minutes.
But we're actually moving forward, which is wonderful.
Yeah, we are moving forward, but we do have to hire
someone. 35 to go.
All right. Governance. Let's see. What time is it on the East Coast?
10:27.
Yeah, I don't know. We may have to have a continuation meeting. We got. I think we got past the nasty stuff.
Yeah. This is Kathy.
Kathy, go ahead.
Considering it's almost 10:30 and I'm still at the office, I don't know. I can stay much longer either way.
What do you say? How do people feel? Because it's really. It's late for Kathy. And AC, are you still with us?
Yeah, I sort of agree that we should continue this.
You mean go reschedule a continuation meeting?
Yes, yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Is there anybody who objects?
Can we just do governance?
Do two more items?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, we're up for that.
All right.
All right. Why don't we take on 10 and 11? Okay, governance. Attending and participating in meetings of the PNB and coordinating committee, including teleconferences, which we have occasionally, regularly quarterly PNB meetings, and special meetings.
Weekly, daily.
Weekly, daily.
Move to accept.
Move to accept. Any objection for number 10? Okay, number 10 is approved. Number 11, ensuring the effective organization of quarterly PNB meetings, including board packets, in cooperation with the board chair.
Kathy, on the start.
Kathy, go ahead.
Since it seems that there's some consideration of having less than quarterly, could we say in-person PNB meetings?
Yeah, I think that works. Anybody have a problem with that? Organization of in-person PNB meetings. Is anybody worried about taking quarterly out? I know some people are worried that we're trying to disempower the PNB by having less meetings.
And I have no problem with leaving it in either. I just...
Yeah.
Does the bylaws say quarterly meetings?
Well, the bylaws say that there are four meetings. I don't know. They're quarterly.
Okay.
But what it refers to are the in-person meetings. Ensuring the effective organization of in-person PNB meetings, including board packets.
I agree with that. I actually said it was in-person PNB meetings.
Yeah.
I think that's sufficient.
That's sufficient?
Yeah.
Okay. There's no objection to amending, changing quarterly to in-person? All right. So the... Number 11 will now read, ensuring the effective organization of in-person PNB meetings, including board packets, in cooperation with the board chair. Is there any objection?
Move to accept.
Move to accept. Any objection?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's approved as amended. Now I'm looking at the calendar, KPFTX. We really, really need to get moving on this. What about Wednesday, October 22nd it looks free here, and we will be after the Elections Committee.
Sounds good.
Wednesday, October 22nd. Anyone have a conflict with that date? I'll send that out as a preliminary.
Just want to let you all know, I'm out of here from the 23rd through the 27th or 8th. So that's your last chance. Right?
You're out of here, and you won't be available by telephone?
Nope. Gone.
Wow.
All right. Well, I have that same situation next week, so the 22nd works for me as well.
22nd works. Okay.
So try to finish.
The closer we get to the end of this election, the worse it's going to be for me.
Oh, it's getting worse for you. Okay, well, try to get some other members participating as well. Thank you for everyone for...
what are you saying, that we're going for the 22nd?
Wednesday, October 22nd. I'll send a note out to the committee since there are only four of us present, and we'll see if that works for everyone.
Yeah.
So it'll be preliminary scheduling.
Okay.
I won't post it until we see. Give people a chance to weigh in.
Yes.
Okay.
Motion. I'm taking Ambrose's place.
Taking Ambrose. The Ambrose motion.
Where's Ambrose? Motion to adjourn.
Say it, Neil.
Motion to adjourn in the name of Ambrose Lane.
Oh, God. Good night, all.
Okay.
Good night. Okay.
Adjourn. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, John L. Mailer.
Good night.
Bye. Good night, all.
Bye.